And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Luke 12:15. I am Rob West. Jesus told his followers to be wary of materialism, but we're all guilty of it from time to time, wasting money on things we don't really need. I'll talk about six of them today, and then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, before we get into the specific money wasters, there's a general principle you should be aware of. If you're buying things that provide only a temporary sense of satisfaction, you're probably wasting money. Doesn't matter what it is. If it's not a necessity and you grow bored with it, it was a waste of money. Check your closets for examples. Now, I'm not saying you should take a vow of poverty. The Lord wants us to enjoy the resources He's given us, but that must be tempered by the principle that we're merely stewards and we need to use His resources wisely. But of course, we live in a culture that promotes spending. It's a big problem. One survey showed that the average adult spends around $1,500 a month on non-essentials. No wonder so many Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. Imagine what that kind of money would do if it were put into savings or invested for retirement. All right, let's look at our six money wasters for today and what you can do about them. The first is one of the biggest, but also one of the easiest to fix, not preparing your own meals. It's okay to eat out occasionally, but too often it's just for convenience and not really necessary. By some estimates, a restaurant-prepared meal will cost you three times what you would pay for the same meal cooked at home. Money waster number two, upgrading your smartphone as soon as a new one comes out. For example, the iPhone 14 could cost you as much as $1,600 or lock you into a long contract if your carrier provides it. Eventually, a smartphone will have to be replaced, but the longer you delay upgrading, the more money you keep in your pocket. This year's red-hot phone is next year's discount model. And you have to ask, just how smart does your phone need to be? Most of us don't use the features we have now. Okay, number three, clothing is another biggie. Wearing the latest fashion is expensive. By some estimates, the average American spends nearly $2,000 a year on clothing. And in a few months, whatever you buy will probably be out of fashion. Clothes do wear out and need to be replaced, so you have to include that in your budget. But those spending decisions should be practical, not a way to boost your ego. Money waster number four, buying lottery tickets. The ads say you can't win if you don't play, but that's nonsense. You definitely will win if you don't play. You'll get to keep your money. You have better odds of being hit by lightning twice than winning the lottery. Plus, you don't want to participate in something that disproportionately hurts the poor. A Bankrate report found that low-income households spend as much as 13% of their income on lottery tickets, far more than higher-income earners. Okay, number five, extended warranties, especially for automobiles. It's now a $40 billion a year industry, and it's really just an expensive form of insurance that you probably won't need. So instead of buying an extended warranty, do your homework to make sure you're buying a quality item to begin with. Most will have an adequate manufacturer's warranty anyway. And then make sure you have enough money in your emergency fund to cover any repairs you might need to make. And our number six big money waster is your cable or streaming package. If you're still paying for cable, it could be as much as $200 a month for internet and TV. Do you really need 568 channels? More and more folks are dropping cable and satellite TV and using only streaming apps. But even there, you can waste a lot of money. A new survey by Finance Buzz showed that a quarter of households have at least three more streaming apps than they had last year, and 1 in 10 reported they have no idea how much they're spending on streaming. So, keep track of what you're watching, and if you're not getting your money's worth from an app, drop it. That's one great thing about streaming apps. No service contract, drop it anytime you like. Okay, those are your six big-time money wasters. I hope you find this helpful. And by the way, the best way to identify how you're doing in each one of these categories is to live on a spending plan, and the FaithFi app can help with that. You can download it on our website at faithfi.com. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Sometimes in Scripture, we read really hard things. Things that are hard to understand. Things that are hard to live. 1 John 2:15 is one of these. It says, "Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. Anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them." Hard to understand. God so loved the world, didn't he? Hard to live. There are people I care about in this world. I'm not supposed to love them. Here's the point. Your love for the world should not eclipse your desire to love Christ and your commitment to his gospel. Our love must be oriented around Christ, not anyone or anything else. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit getanchored.com.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We are grateful for support from LightPoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LightPoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance Program. More information is available at lightpointportfolios.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number to call, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-525-7000. Here early in the broadcast, you can get right through, and we'd love to get you on the air. We started today by talking about some big money wasters. Coming up a little later in this hour, I'll talk about American spending habits. That's right. Some of the latest data says what we're spending on household items, on transportation costs, on health care. You know, the key is to rein in our spending and to give every dollar a name. That requires a spending plan. And, well, our FaithFi app could be just what you're looking for. It's simple to use. There's three approaches, so you can find the approach that's the right one for you, whether you're hands-on or hands-off, and you can stay on budget. It's secure. You can connect it to your banking institutions and use the tried-and-true envelope system if you want with a modern digital expression. It's all available available in your app store. Just search for FaithFi or head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click the app tab. All right, to the phones we go. 800-525-7000 with lines open. We're going to head to a first-time caller, Charlie in Arkansas. You're first on the program, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, sir, I just wanted to let you guys know that what's happening is also sapping people's accounts. Is these companies that if you buy something online and they get your information, your card information, they will turn around and charge you the next month for the same exact thing. Although they've already taken the money for it, they will not dissolve your card. And it's hard to get your money back. It really is. And I want people to be warned about that.
Yeah. Charlie, are you speaking specifically to subscriptions where you might sign up for a monthly subscription and then it just auto bills? Is that what you're referring to?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, or yeah. Items that you buy or you purchase, and they're just sticking people right and left. And Amazon's bad about it. If you buy something from Amazon and you part of a network, like you have a group of people that, you know, are in there and they buy stuff from them, yeah. They will go down through there and find a card that works and they'll charge anybody for it. They don't care. Mm.
Yeah. Well, we've certainly got to be on our guard. A couple of things you're raising here, especially as we continue on this opening theme of money wasters. Number one is we've got to be monitoring our financial accounts. You know, if you have an account where you've established a login, especially if there's a credit card on file, you just need to be on your guard. The best way to do that, any credit card accounts and checking accounts where you have a debit card, you just need to be looking at those every month. And that's where a budget can help, because if something is not budgeted, well, it's going to show up. You'll be able to spot it quicker and identify any fraud that may exist. You also need to look for subscriptions. You know, so often now we get into these free trials, whether it's 2 weeks or a month. This happens with online streaming services, all kinds of online services that we're checking out or testing. This happens with apps all the time. You might download an app and start a free trial and then forget about it. That's a big money waster. We've got to be looking at those. There are apps to actually scour your transactions just to find subscriptions and cancel them for you, whether you do it yourself or you use one of those apps. Looking for unused subscriptions, streaming services, app subscriptions can be a great way to recoup some dollars just by going in and canceling those. If you're an Apple user, you can go in and look in one place at your subscriptions. Speaking of Amazon, you may want to go to your Amazon account if you've got one. Go to your memberships and subscriptions and then select the manage subscription and then start canceling. And, you know, that can be a great way to recoup some dollars. So I think you're exactly right. We've got to be on our guard here. You point out a great opportunity for us to cut back, Charlie. Hey, thanks for calling the program today. We appreciate it. God bless you, sir. 800-525-7000 to Louisiana. Hi, Joe. How can I help you?
Thanks for taking my call. We love the show.
Thank you.
A two-part question, if I'm allowed. I am a very novice investor. I'm 71 years old, and I got burned in the stock market, and I got scared. My question is, what are structured notes? I hear people talk about them, but I don't think they're very liquid. And also, is there any safe stock out there that's not like a privately traded stock in a utility company where you could get a good dividend, about 4 or 5%? Because I don't have a pension right now, and I'm buying annuities, and I got messed up on that too. So that's my two-part question. Structured notes, how liquid are they? Can you get your money out? And is that for a guy who makes under $20,000 a year? Like I make $17,500, and I'm single, no dependents.
Yeah, I would stay away from structured notes. I mean, basically, this is a debt obligation. It has what's called, and this gets complicated quickly, but a derivative component that adjusts its risk-return profile. But it's linked to the performance of an underlying asset or a group of assets. As to the liquidity, they are highly illiquid. The structured notes rarely trade on the secondary market after they're issued, which just makes them very illiquid. So if you need to get out for any reason, you know, the market's declining, you have a personal reason, your only option for an early exit is to sell it back to the original issuer. So I think for that reason, you know, I would probably stay away from them just from the liquidity standpoint, the risk, as well as, you know, the default risk on these things. In terms of how to look for, you know, dividend paying stocks, and I like, you know, income generating stocks a lot. I think especially in your season of life, that portion that you might allocate to stocks, I think, you know, overweighting for the equity portion toward dividend paying stocks makes a lot of sense for you, Joe. You might want to use kind of the rule of 100. Now with people living longer, sometimes we use 110. But if you were to take the number 110 minus your age, let's say you're 70, that would mean you'd want to have 40% in stocks. If you want to be a little more conservative, you could go 100 minus your age. That would give you 30, which means you want 30% in stocks. And then the rest, I would put in fixed income, high quality bond instruments, government and corporate. And the good news is where we've been in an unfavorable environment for bonds, it's about to become very favorable because yields are up. And as the interest rates fall, and they will probably later this year, certainly next year, we'll start to see interest rates come down. The prices on the bonds will increase. So for you to have a portfolio of 60 to 70% in bonds, 30 to 40% in stocks, and with the stock portion concentrated to dividend paying stocks, I think that makes a lot of sense. In terms of where to go, I can't give you specific stock recommendations, but what I would say is look for some high quality mutual funds that focus on income generating stocks. Our friends at soundmindinvesting.org could help with that. That's soundmindinvesting.org. They could give you some mutual fund recommendations focused on income generation. If you want some faith-based investing options, you could go to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com, and find some of the fund families that take a specifically faith-based approach. So they're screening out companies that are misaligned with your values, screening in companies that are aligned with your values, and at the same time, doing corporate engagement as well. Again, that's faithfi.com. You'll see fund families like the Timothy Plan, Eventide. You'll see One Ascent there, Lightpoint Portfolio, some wonderful fund families doing great work in the name of Jesus. But these are great questions, Joe. Delighted you called today, and we'll look forward to having you back real soon. We're going to head to Illinois just around the corner for another question. Plus, we've got a few lines open, 800-525-7000. Call right now, and we'll be right back on Faith and Finance.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman, the most rewarding thing about my job is that we get to build relationships through our donors and our supporters and get to have that personal relationship with them.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Phone lines are open for your questions today, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Let's head to Illinois. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, I saw recently where the BRICS agreement, which is the countries of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa have all agreed to dump the U.S. dollar as their U.S. backing, as their monetary backing. And what I was thinking is, especially if we're kind of in a recession and I have cash laying around, would that potentially tank the U.S. dollar here in short order? And should I potentially take cash and convert it to gold?
Yeah. It's a great question. I think the key in that question is short order. No, I don't think so. You're right. We're seeing a lot of momentum behind this. In fact, coming up next month, South Africa will host the leaders of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa as the BRICS, B-R-I-C-S, group of nations, will continue to talk about the creation of a currency. There's obviously a lot of momentum behind this right now, especially with the geopolitical landscape that's challenging the traditional dominance of the West. These countries, though, have seen what's going on geopolitically, also in the light of rising interest rates and our recent debt ceiling crisis, not to mention our national debt. You know, there's been a lot of discussion about a dollar-denominated, world reserve currency and debt and the demise of the dollar. And yet, what I would say is a BRICS currency and anything else faces major hurdles before becoming a reality. The reality still today is, nearly 90% of international transactions happen in the form of U.S. dollars. And nearly 60% of global foreign exchange reserves are right now in U.S. dollars. So the dollar's global dominance is indisputable, even though there are lots of discussions that involve crypto and the BRICS currency and, the euro, but nobody's even close to getting, to a place where it could challenge the U.S. dollar in a real way. I mean, that's way down the road, just given the real problems that are out there, because when you've got manipulation of currencies, when you've got just a host of issues related to any conceivable alternative, the bottom line is the dollar remains dominant because most countries have no alternative. So I think the key here is, first of all, to maintain our own economy, what passes through our hands by living within our means, controlling debt, giving generously, having long-term goals, and having margin. I think I would still count on the U.S. economy as the biggest and the strongest in the world, despite our challenges. And we clearly have some that we need to address, including spending and our debt and just even our monetary policy. But there's
there's nobody even close to us in terms of our own economy. We've seen China's economy faltering as of late. I think in terms of the banking system, we still have, and our U.S. dollar still in by far, if we're grading on a curve, there's nobody even close. So how would I approach this? Would I have gold? Sure, but I probably wouldn't go over a typical allocation of 10%. I wouldn't overweight in gold. The performance is just not there. It's more volatile. It has less performance over time. It's a part of a balanced portfolio, but I don't think it should be your portfolio. I also wouldn't be exiting the stock market or the banking system. I think any potential challenges, probably the most likely that we could face in our lifetime, is a real debt crisis. But I think that's still a long way off. So for me, I'm not making any major changes. I'm just trying to follow biblical principles with regard to how I manage money, and not making any sudden moves or changes. And I wouldn't fall for the fear mongering that exists out there either. But give me your thoughts on all that, Joe.
No, I think you've answered a lot of my questions. I was concerned because I heard that they were going to gold in the BRICS, and so I thought maybe that might increase the value. And then when and if China comes asking for their money that we owe them, I was a little fearful of what it might do. And like I said, in short order, but no, I think you've answered my questions.
Yeah. And you probably did see that note recently that, they've been debating this for months, and in talking about the various currencies and a commodity basket. And, they've settled on gold as the basis for this new international currency system, separate from the U.S. dollar and the euro. So you are correct there. I don't see that, though, being linked to a major run-up in gold prices at this point. I mean, they're already high. Could we have a short-term swing trade opportunity? Perhaps, but I'm not, looking for short-term moves. I think longer term, I would still, a proper allocation plus a properly diversified portfolio, I think, is the winning solution there.
Okay. I think you've answered my questions quite well. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Joe, appreciate your call today, sir. God bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open today. Again, 800-525-7000. Hey, before we head to our next break, let me tackle a quick email. These come into us every day at askrob@faithfi.com. And John wrote to us. He said, I'm nearly 62. I want to know if it's too late for me to start an IRA. I'd like to put this money that I'm earning into an IRA of some kind so I can avoid paying taxes on this income until I start drawing it out at full retirement age of 67. You absolutely can, John. It's never too late to open an IRA unless you've stopped working and no longer have earned income. I think given what you're trying to do, I'd open a traditional IRA so you can get that deduction, and then you'll be able to avoid the taxes on that money until you start pulling it out. By the way, earned income is not interest income or dividends. This is wages, salaries, bonuses, commissions, tips, earnings from self-employment. So as long as you have earned income, you can go up to the limit of $7,000 over the age of 50 or up to the amount of earned income that you have. But I think opening an IRA makes a lot of sense given what you're looking at. Appreciate you writing to us. If you have a question, send it along. AskRob@faithfi.com. Back with your questions. 800-525-7000.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this. And that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Our goal in this program, to help you be a wise and faithful steward. That means we have to start with the idea that God owns it all. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Therefore, we're His money managers or stewards of His resources and money. Well, money's a tool to accomplish His purposes. So we should really start with our values and priorities as believers and then order our financial lives accordingly, heeding the counsel of Scripture, applying principles, and then building a spending plan based on how much is enough, asking God what lifestyle He's called us to, and then building a plan that allows us to give every dollar a name, but not letting the world or the culture or a system built on materialism inform our decisions, but really making our decisions in light of what's most important to us. Well, we want to help you do that on this program each day, not being in pointing a finger at you or trying to discourage you in any way. We want to be hopeful and encouraging as we help you apply God's wisdom to your financial life. So what are you thinking about today? What decisions are you trying to make? We'd love to tackle those with you. We have a few lines open, 800-525-7000. Back to the phones, we go to Oklahoma. Hi, Marty. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I had two questions for you. I want to ask the one about silver first. You know, sure. I'm 60 years old. I remember silver being a lot more than it is now. And it used to be like 30 compared to gold, like 30 to 1. Now it's 80 to 1. And I've had people tell me, and I did research, that some banks are buying, and they are buying one on paper and one physical and three on paper to hold it down. Have you heard anything like that?
Well, here's what I would say. I mean,
Yeah,
so silver tends to move with the economy overall, at least more so than gold. So, you know, typically when the economy slows down, industries need less silver for manufacturing, driving the price down. We're headed into a recession, which would be part of the reason why, silver has not done as well. There's really not an objectively better investment one over the other. It really depends on your market position and the state of your portfolio. But I would say typically people buy silver when times are good. You know, this is a semi-predictable speculation asset that can make some money. And gold is more of the fear trade, you know, but bottom line is a good S&P 500 index, and maybe with some of those companies removed that don't align with your values, though, that will typically do better than gold and silver in the long run. Silver tends to be a little more volatile, usually a little cheaper, and again, more tightly linked with the industrial economy, whereas gold tends to be more expensive, but better for diversifying your portfolio overall. And it can provide that hedge because it's going to move typically opposite the market. You know, when the stocks are falling, typically gold does well. That's not always the case with silver because of how linked it is to the industrial economy, which is why, again, if you're looking to diversify your portfolio and have uncorrelated assets, I would say gold is your better choice. I would look to do, again, no more than 10% in gold right now, if that makes sense. Is that helpful?
Yeah. Now, is that your net worth on your cash or net worth on your land and cash? I mean, when you say 10%.
Yeah, I would say total investable assets. So whatever you have total to invest, I would look at no more than 10%.
Okay. And then I'm 60, you know, and I know taxes are going to go up. You know, in 2 years, the tax credit expires, the taxes, what Trump did expires.
That's right.
Would it be advantageous for me to convert my traditional IRA over to a Roth and pay those taxes?
It certainly could be. I mean, you're right. In 2025, we're going to see those cuts expire unless they're extended. A lot of that has to do with what kind of future administration we have. And that, of course, remains to be seen. I like the idea that you need to be, you know, thinking about what environment is going to be better from a tax standpoint. Are we likely to see higher taxes down the road than we have today? Yes, I think so. I don't see taxes going any lower. And because of what you mentioned about the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expiring in 2025, there's probably a good reason to believe they're going up. So what I would do is work with your CPA on the right timing and amount to convert, because I don't want you to deplete your reserves. I also don't want you to do too much in one tax year such that you're going to push it up into an even higher tax bracket. So what you may want to do is say, okay, over the next two or three tax years, we're going to convert a portion of this over. And, you know, not, you know, be careful not to push it up into a higher bracket, but go ahead and pay the taxes now, because we believe this is the lowest tax environment we're going to have. Even if that's renewed under a Republican administration, it's probably not going any lower, but there's a good likelihood it's going higher. Does that all make sense?
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. If I pull the trigger now, Would it lock in the low taxes, or only for 2 years if they raise it in 2 years?
Say that again.
If I convert it over today, let's say today, if I convert it over for like, it takes 5 years to do it, and they raise taxes in the middle of the 5 years, will my tax rate go up then, or will it be locked in for if I do it now, will the tax rate be locked in going forward?
Well, whatever portion you convert, you're going to add that to your taxable income in that year. So whatever the tax bracket is for 2023, however much you convert this year, you're going to pay it at the current rates. If you had some still to convert in 2025 and taxes go up and you convert in that calendar year, then you're going to pay 20-25% marginal tax rates. So, you know, if you're trying to avoid paying it in a higher tax environment down the road, then you'd want to convert it before that, because anything you convert in that year is going to be subject to that tax rate.
Okay. So back in the 90s, they had a 4-year plan. Remember that, where you could convert it over a period, but now you do it 1 year at a time, is what you're telling me.
That's right. Exactly right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I do appreciate your ministry, and you are very knowledgeable. Thank you so much.
All right, Marty. God bless you, my friend. We appreciate your call today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. You know, we were talking today about money wasters when we started the program, and we've got to be on our guard there. You know, when we look at American spending habits, really interesting to see. First of all, you know, as of the latest data that I've seen, 2022, here's what we're spending. Housing, of course, is the largest expense that we see for most families. Is right at 35% of their income for most Americans is being spent on housing costs. We're seeing transportation average spending $813 a month. Healthcare has gone up $414 a month. Childcare is a big budget buster for many families. Love the idea of having kids. We should be fruitful and multiply. Children are a blessing, and yet we've got to account for the cost. We've got to put it into the plan. Daycare running about $453 a month on average. Average cost of groceries up. Cell phone bills up. I mean, we're seeing costs up across the board. Now, this is not a surprise to you. You're well aware of this. You live it every day. And what I would say is it really just underscores the need for you to have a spending plan for your family. A budget helps you organize your income and your spending so you can get control of your finances. If you want help with that, check out the FaithFi app at faithfi.com. Back with more of your questions just around the corner.
Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio. Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature. But also, plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Hey, in the news today, debt collectors just got a win from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. The agency has updated rules to allow collectors to use, listen to this, social media platforms to reach debtors. Specifically, collectors are now allowed to send direct messages to contact borrowers with two restrictions. First, their messages must be private. Facebook or Instagram friends should not be able to see them. And second, collectors must tell borrowers who they are. If they're making a friend request, or for example, they have to reveal that they're debt collectors. But just more opportunities for these collection agencies to contact their debtors. And that's just coming out from the CFPB. So just be on your guard. This is, of course, going to lead to a rise of more fraud in this area, as well as identity thieves and fraudsters are going to use this as a way to kind of get into your social media loop and, you know, try to collect personal information, things like that, perhaps by claiming to be debt collectors. So just be careful. Don't give out personal information to anyone contacting you by email, by phone, or now through social media. Make sure you initiate that contact directly. But wanted to make you aware of some of these new changes that are coming out because they're going to be showing up in your social feed. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open today here in our final segment. We'd love to hear from you with your financial questions. To Mississippi. Hi, Tommy. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Rob, and thank you for everything that you're doing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
It's amazing how the good Lord allowed Dan's financial baton be passed over to you, and I think you're doing a great job. So, Rob, real quick, I know you got a lot going on. So I focus on my businesses, my ministry, and my wife. She's super smart, and she's an accountant. So I've kind of left a lot of this on her shoulders. And right now, we've got about $120,000 in a 401k that has been closed out, and I've moved it over to my son, who is a F&A guy at a bank. And we've had it in cash for the last 3 or 4 years just because the unstable environment we're in. And he is suggesting that we put it in annuities. And I have not done any research, and I'm hoping you can give me some guidance.
Yeah. Well, let me just say at the outset, and then I'll ask some questions. I'm not one of those that says annuities never have a place, and yet I'm typically not a fan. They typically have a lot of fees. They're complicated. They're very illiquid, which means you lose access to your capital without surrender charges and waiting periods, and they can limit your earnings, whereas in exchange for the downside protection, which may be what you're looking for, we can talk about that, you're going to give up the upside. So they're just not my favorite vehicle. And oftentimes they're sold, not bought, meaning people don't wake up thinking, well, today I'm going to buy an annuity. Somebody kind of sells them on one. And there's, you know, just one of the common understandings in this space is that there's a lot of commissions that are paid out. So the person selling this to you, and I'm not saying your son here is trying to talk you into something so he can make a bunch of money, but that's often in the back of our minds because the person selling it stands to make quite a bit of money in commissions when these things are sold. So I guess my question to you would be, why do you think you might want an annuity? What was he saying as to the reason why you would want to put this money into an insurance product?
Well, the we've got some other investments. We've got several Roths and other, regular stock investments. What attracted us is the security after 10 years, we'll have a set amount coming in each month.
That's right.
And I've been kind of entertaining the idea of long-term care policy.
Yeah.
I'm 62. She's 66. We're both pretty healthy, but she's been kind of dealing with some, arthritis type stuff. So that long-term care rider if you lose two functions of the six functions of your daily living, pay a double, one and a half times. So that kind of got our attention.
Yeah. I like that a lot. I mean, I think you've hit on two key things that annuities would provide. And number one is the idea that you would want to take a portion of your assets and lock in a guaranteed income stream for life for you and your wife, as long as it's going to be on both of your lives and continue if one of you were to pass away before the other. That could give you that base of income that you're looking for that alongside Social Security gives you what you need to cover your bills. And if that's the case, that gives you obviously a lot of peace of mind. That would be one of those reasons why I would say an annuity could be looked at, especially if you have other assets outside of that, you could tap into if you needed them for an unexpected event. Also, I think putting one of these, long-term care riders on, which adds more benefits that allows you to begin, to receive payments and even an increased amount of money if you meet two of those six ADLs, activities of daily living. So I think that can be a benefit. Obviously, the rising costs of long-term care is, staggering. And so we just need to be, you know, aware of that. And this can be one of the ways that you handle that. Now, annuity payments are taxable, so tax treatment depends on how you purchase it, but you need to understand that. You know, you just need to have the money to be able to pay it in terms of if you don't have the liquid reserves, you know, if there's costs above and beyond what it's paying out, you just need to be aware of that. You also have to put in a large upfront amount, which, you know, it sounds like you're willing to do. With a straight policy, you know, you don't have the growth component, but, you know, obviously it would be more cost effective because you're not putting in a big chunk of money. So I think the bottom line is, as long as you're not putting all of your assets in here, you understand what you're getting, you're solving for an income stream that's going to shore up what you need to cover your living expenses. And you've got the long-term care rider and you understand it and you believe it's actually what you, you know, is going to provide what you need to be able to cover those costs, then I think I could get on board with it. I probably would shop it around though and get two or three different folks to weigh in on this because not all annuities are created equal. They're complicated. And, you know, some of them may pay higher commissions, but they may not be the best one for you. And so if this is the direction you're going to go, I'd probably, you know, evaluate two or three different options before you pick the one that you settle on.
That's fantastic, Robin. I'm so glad I called. And you and I are on the same page as far as overlooking this thing. Now, one other question while I got you.
Sure.
So I have not jumped into the market. It's a default on my end, and I need to be more of a steward of the Lord's money. We love to give, but we want to give more. I want to make sure if we're going to let him invest in our other regular stocks, which outlet would you recommend I use to screen the businesses that I don't want to support? You know, because we're struggling Christians like everybody, but we don't want to get involved with anything that's, you know, the Disneys of the world and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple of options there. One would be if you've already settled on your son or son-in-law doing this, then, you know, you'd want to, hopefully he has the ability to provide that screening for you or use one of the faith-based investing fund families that we talk about here on this program. You'll find a list of them on our website at faithfi.com. Just click on the show and you'll see, you know, a lot of great companies, Timothy and Eventide and One Ascent and Lightpoint Portfolios. So that would be a great way to go, is just choose one of those fund families that does all of that for you. If you wanted to build your own portfolio, you certainly could do that. If he doesn't have the ability to do that, you know, typically advisors will use something called Evaluator, and the letter E and then Valuator. There is a kind of some public facing free solutions out there. One is called Inspire Insight, and you'll find it at inspireinsight.com. And literally you can put in any ticker, whether that's a mutual fund or a particular company, and you will get all of the data on it, the negative and the positive. And you'll be able to see exactly what you want, and it'll tell you what percent exposure. It'll even score it. Anything below zero is a negative, and anything above zero is, you know, something that they would say, you know, it should be invested in, or at least considered. But inspireinsight.com will give you, I think, what you're looking for.
Very good. And my prayerful hope is that he gets more familiar with what you're all about, and because he's a great young man, but he's not, you know, full on board with the you know, involved as much as I think he could be in faith financing. You know?
Well, we'd love for him to check it out. Have him go to kingdomadvisors.com and he can learn more about the work that we're doing to equip and disciple financial advisors just like him who want to help their clients be wise and faithful stewards of God's money. Hey, God bless you, Tommy. Thanks for being on the program today, sir. You sound like a wonderful, God-fearing man trying to be a good steward just like we all are. And we appreciate it. Hey, Mike in Texas, I understand you have some cash on the sideline right now. You want to get a little better rate of return. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right, let me help you with that. I've got just a few seconds left. If you want a company that shares your values, check out the Christian Community Credit Union at joinchristiancommunity.com. If you're just looking for the opportunity with the best return or yield on a high-yield savings, go to bankrate.com, and you can find those that have the best options. It's going to be an online bank, but bankrate.com will give you a complete list so you can pick the one that's the best fit for you. I'm sorry I didn't have more time for you, my friend, but thanks for calling today. Well, we're so grateful to have you with us on the program today. I appreciate Robert Youngblood, Jim Henry, and Devin Patrick. Couldn't do it without my amazing team. Hope you have a great rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.